Yeah, your walk, your faith walk is shorted. You can't hear from God anymore. Things become cloudy. Things become dark. Fear comes in. Fear and faith are the opposite. Everything gets cloudy. You've got to get that faith connection, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. But God is speaking to you, even in the midst of your chaos, Michelle. And I think this service was for you today. Amen. God stopped this service and said, okay, sister. And Jill went downstairs. Praise the Lord. So you were supposed to be in here. God stopped the service for you because God wants to talk to you. In the midst of your chaos, God is going to speak into your life. That's what the whole testimony of the Bible is. The Bible is presenting a real God. It's not about a bunch of people arguing about theology. And I believe in theology. I study it. I like it. It's just like a passion. But that's not what the Bible is. The Bible is about knowing God and how to learn to walk in God and to live in God. And it comes through Jesus Christ paving the way for us. His blood has paved the way. There's nobody in here that has called on the name of the Lord and has invited Jesus into your life that you're not under the grace of God. Your sins are forgiven. So that's not even what we're talking about unless you've never done that. Unless you've never bowed your knee and said, yeah, I'm a sinner. I need your love. I need your grace. I need your mercy. But we're under the blood, and so God is constantly dealing with us. I don't know why we make this so hard. God is talking to you, and when you have issues and problems, God is dealing right there. God isn't talking about predestination to you when your marriage is falling apart. Saying, hey, your marriage is falling apart. I want to talk to you about the 5 points of the tulip, okay? God, my wife just walked out on me. Yes, but I want to talk to you about the tulip. Irresistible grace. I want to talk. No. He's talking to you about your wife. He's talking to you about your marriage. When you lose your job, God isn't talking to you about some high theology. Jesus entered. That's what incarnation is about. Jesus entered into your situation and walked it out and got victory. And because he got victory, you, Elijah, have victory if you want it. You can overcome. Why? Because we live in him. He becomes our source of power. He becomes our source of life. We become cling to him and believe in him and walk in him. And some of my message is about that when we get to it. And Kayla, I had a word for you. Don't give up. Those that don't give up reap. But everything looks dark. Everything looks impossible. I don't understand. I don't get it, God. I'm doing my best. I'm reading my Bible. I'm going to church. God, I don't know. God would say, don't give up. We count them happy that endure. Those that endure, we count them happy. We get chances to give up all the time. Every day, every morning. Every time you wake up, you got a sore in your back and you got a problem. You have a chance to give up. God doesn't want you giving up. He wants you to finish your course with joy. He wants to lay gifts on you. God wants the gifts of the Spirit in your life. And what I always think, you say, Brother Brad, I don't know how to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to give you a recipe that John has given you for however long I've been preaching on John, Gary. It's really simple. It really is simple. Walk in love. God is a Spirit. God is love. Walk in love. It's really simple. That's what the whole book of John's about. You just got to keep repeating it because John keeps repeating it. If you're walking in love, you're walking in God. The more you grow in agape, the more you grow in love, the more you're going to be like God. And what happens when you start walking in love and looking around, it's just amazing how your life begins to be transformed. Your life begins to be transformed. And this is the message that we've been given by God. Isn't that good? So if you have your Bible, that was all free. What I do sometimes, if you don't know, maybe I'll start charging for it. $1 a line. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want your money. No, the reason I do that sometimes is I think pastors sometimes get a feel for their congregation. We want to encourage you. I think about you during the week. I'm not an elder or a pastor that doesn't think about you during the week. Roger, I was thinking about you yesterday, so I haven't seen enough of you, haven't talked to you. You'd be surprised, those of you, you know, I don't want to embarrass you. Ashley, I thought about you this week. I think about you guys. You'd be amazed when you come on my heart. I don't go home and quit thinking about you. I'm your pastor. And I pray for you, and I want you to get it. This thing isn't for a pastor only or Gary Smith Wigglesworth, and he's a great one, wasn't he? God wants you to be Smith Wigglesworth. If you don't know who he is, Google him when you get home. No, God wants his love to work in you. He wants you to be powerful. He wants you to overcome. He wants you to overcome this world. Do you know when you spend time in the Lord's presence, you take on his image? Did you know that? This is for all you non-praying people. Anybody want to raise their hand and own that one? No, don't. Please don't. No. For those of you that don't pray, if you sat in front of football on Sunday for 10 hours, what are you going to talk about Monday morning at the cooler? Football. Anything wrong with football? No, I don't think so. Go Bucks. I love the Bucks. I'll watch them on Saturday. So, no, there's nothing wrong with football. But if you spend 10 hours on football, that's what you're going to talk about. You're going to be transformed. I got a beautiful friend of mine, maybe related to me, who can rattle off statistics, can tell you who made this touchdown, who won this game. Well, because he feeds on that. He loves it. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's good. I love football. You love football. But whatever you chew on, whatever you digest, do you know when you get in the presence of God, you crack that Bible open, when you get on your knees or pace the floor and you start praying to God and you call his presence into your life, you ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom, when you worship him, raise those hands up like the funnel and invite the Holy Spirit in, the Holy Spirit will come and visit you. What do I got to do, Brett? Faith, believe, trust. The Holy Spirit will come and he'll bring love and he'll bring vision. And I know when I get up in the morning and I'm praying, and when I'm praying in the Spirit, and I'm really worshiping God, when I go out the door, I'm dangerous. I'm a dangerous person to the devil. Because God will put me in situations, and he'll ask me to do things, and he'll guide my path, and he'll just flip a switch in me. And it's by his grace, it's by his anointing, I know he does it. How do you know he does it, Brad? Because when I don't do it, I'm not saying every day, if I have to do it every day, but when I quit seeking the Lord, when I quit spending time in the Word, everything starts to get less distinct. Are you saying you're lost? No. I'm just saying spiritual things kind of become cloudy and the natural world starts caving in on me. But I can always steal away, get in the presence of God and ask him to come. Lord, come into my situation. And sometimes, Michelle, you don't even know what the answer is. You're in such a mess. You got so much stuff going on, you don't even know the answer. You can't. All you can do is hold on to God and say, God, help. I'm trusting you. I'm believing in you. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm trusting you. I'm believing you. And raise that hand and worship him. God, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if this fire burns me, if I get burnt out and burn up and burnt through, I am going to trust you even if I get pitched in jail, if I lose my life, if I lose my wife, if I lose my money. God, I am going to trust you. When you have faith like that, Jesus is going to join you in the fire. Did I tell you we're teaching Daniel on Wednesday nights? 7:00. I can't tell you how real this thing is. You know, we just prayed. Jesse, I don't want to embarrass you. I won't mention you by name a second time. You know, we just, we're praying. Jesse had a job change thing come up and everything, and pretty desperate situation, you know. We prayed. Jesse and I prayed. I've been praying for Jesse and everything. And, you know, he volunteered. And I know you wouldn't want people to know, but I'm going to tell him anyway. He volunteered yesterday, like a week ago, and Mary, you did too. Mary LaStoria did the same thing. And they came up and they were cleaning these carpets up here because they're pretty bad. Actually, it looks pretty nice where you clean with that cleaner. It held up pretty good. And Shay, thank you. And your kids, Caleb and Joshua. What's his real name? Declan, not Joshua. Caleb and Declan. Okay, and he came up and cleaned. You know, he had said he'd do that. In between when I talked to him about cleaning the carpet and the next time I saw him, he got a job. Isn't that beautiful? That's beautiful. God cares. Old Deborah Liggett, 2 weeks ago on Wednesday night, she was praying. Her job situation was tough. She didn't know if she could make it. It was really, they were cutting back her hours. Really, she's a hard worker, and perhaps they weren't treating her fair. She got a new job. We prayed for her on Wednesday night. She got a new job. It's a better job. Gets paid more, better benefits, more time off. Ain't God good? And God cares about you too. One thing about Debbie, she's a woman of faith, isn't she? She's going to trust God. But she was in the furnace. She was in the furnace. You could tell. She was like, you know, how am I going to make ends meet? How am I going to do this? God heard her cry, but something I know about Debbie, Gary, is that she seeks the Lord. She calls on the name of the Lord, and she trusts the Lord, and he hears her. Now, God cares about the now of your existence. Lord, I have to find a way to get into my message. Can you steer me to my message? Turn to 1 John chapter 5. I know I won't. You guys, you can't believe how much stuff I get during the week. You know what I mean? Like, I dig in. I get so much stuff. I dig in. I write notes. I have pages of notes in my notebooks. I preach my message at home, and it lasts 2 hours. Poor Pam. But, I really think, sometimes I think, we're all not in the same place. So you can't always go everywhere you'd like to go, you know, especially if you're, you know, a guy like me. But I believe God's going to speak to us all. Amen? Amen? So turn to 1 John chapter 5. We'll go into this a little bit. I'll kind of tap on it. How many of you know God loves you? The reason you're here today is because God loves you. How many know God wants to bless you? He's not trying to hurt you, right? We run from God because we believe the devil. We have fear of God. Do you know when Adam sinned in the garden, he ran from God. He was afraid of God. That's what sin does to you. I am sinning. The last person I want to see is a holy God. Okay? What's that Bob Dylan's song, you know? God said, Abe. Abe said, what? God said, I want you to give me your son. Abe said, I'm going to run. Something like that. I've got to run. He met a holy God, and God was making a demand, Highway 61. He said, I'm going to run. And that's the human nature. We have a wrong idea of God. Ever since man sinned in the garden, he's been running from God. You sin, you run from God. Jesus came and bridged that gap. You don't have to run anymore. You don't have to run anymore. You run to God when you get in trouble, when you have sin issues and problems in your life. You run to God. If I took a poll and I asked you how many of you enjoyed your sins, past, present, hopefully not future, how many of you think would say, yeah, I've really been enjoying my sin life? Very few. Very few. If anybody would say, yeah, I'm enjoying it. Jesus has bridged that gap that we don't have to be afraid of God. He's not Yahweh with or Jehovah with thunderbolts like Zeus. He revealed himself in Jesus. He is coming after you. He loves you intensely. He died and took your place. That is how much he loves you. If you think he's changed, that's why I get one type of Christian that perturbs me. I try not to get in my flesh about it, is ones that chase other Christians off. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Get a young Christian come in the church and some saint that's been a Christian for 20 years runs them out of the church. I hate that. I hate it. I hate it. I don't hate the person. Because you've been a Christian 20 years, you should be getting this Christianity 101. You should be getting it by now. God's nature and God. God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save it, to redeem it, to buy it back. So you are sons and daughters of God. God is in your life. The best thing you could do is get into his presence and go for more. I want more. Do you know I want more of God? I am not content. I don't walk under condemnation Monday through Saturday. I know God loves me, but I still want more. I was praying to God. I said, God, I need some new mentors in my life. I want to go a little further. I want to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. You know what's really weird? When I think about the gifts of the Spirit, a lot of people think about church, giving a word in church, and that's all good, and I enjoy that because I love you. But when I start thinking about words of knowledge and praying for the sick, I always think about people in the people on the street. People I'm going to run into at Planet Fitness. People I'm going to run into. Me and my son went to the Hartford Fair. Anybody go to Hartford Fair? I mean, it was fun, wasn't it? I had a good time. My first time, I'm 58 years old, first time I've been to the Hartford Fair. I know. Do you know, you people from Utica, that not everybody goes to the Hartford Fair? Did you know that? when I was a kid, we didn't even think about it. It was a high state fair or that little carnival at Heath parking lot. I never thought about the Hartford Fair. I come to Utica and like, where's everybody at? They're at the Hartford Fair. True story. I was praying Thursday morning and the Lord told me a pastor should be with his people. I'm like, I don't want to go to the Hartford Fair, Lord. True. Pam, she's my witness down here. I go, I don't want to go to the Hartford Fair. And I went and had a good time. And I ran into so many people at the Hartford Fair. We had a real good time. But me and my son went to that. You guys see that baseball thing, Hunter, that little, you throw the ball and how fast you go? Well, my son was a good baseball player when he was younger, back in the day. He was pretty good. He had a nice slider, very good pitcher. And so, of course, I'm going to buy. I want to see if he can still throw. I think his first pitch was like 40 mile an hour or something. I'm like, B, come on. But you go up there and you get $5 and you do three. And then they pay you, or if you guess the exact speed, which is kind of a scam, isn't it? The exact speed of his fastball, you get a prize or something. So he went up there and pitched a few. He got it to 57. His last pitch, I said 60 mile an hour. He reared back 61. He threw the ball 61. Not bad. He used to throw 80, now 61. He's getting older. But you know, we had a real good time, but he didn't see me. I don't want to embarrass him. There was an old lady next to him, and she looked like she had had a... Anybody go to that baseball thing? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You go there. It's an old lady standing there working the machine. My heart went out to her. I reached over, and I told her Jesus loved her and cared about her. Just couldn't... Nothing could keep me from doing it. Just something inside of me. We went to with some friends, went out Friday night. We went into this pop shop, and there was a girl there I was talking to, and she said she's a Mormon. And the whole time I'm standing there in front of her, I'm just thinking, Lord, give me something for her. Give me something for her. Give me something for her. Give me something for her, because I want to talk to her. I don't want to condemn her. I don't want to get on her. I want to talk to her. I want to say something into her life. And when you become love... And when love becomes your guiding force, you know, love makes everything easy. Someone that you hate right now, if the Lord put love in your heart for them, you'd just run them down. You would run them down to bless them. All it takes is love. If you're growing weary in your marriage, ask God to reinvigorate love in your marriage. Ask God to pump that love back in there. They may be the biggest rascal. I'm not looking over here. You know, turnabout's fair play, Bill. We love you, brother. They may be the biggest rascal, you know what? But when the Lord pours that love in you, God loves your husband. I don't care if he's lost or saved, God loves him. And he wants to love him through you. Smith Wigglesworth's wife, Polly Wigglesworth. What a name, Polly Wigglesworth. Anybody want to marry a girl named Polly Wigglesworth? Isn't that something? And she would go to church, and he didn't like her going to church, and he would lock her out of the house. She'd come home from church, she'd be locked out. She said she'd just go in, the back door was unlocked, and walk in the back door, and there she'd be, leaning on that. And do you know what happened? This is a true story. He was lost, wasn't serving God. She loved him through all that. She didn't gossip about him or say how bad he was, put him on 50 prayer chains and saying, pray for my husband, he's no good, he's a varmint. He's nasty. Please pray for him. Now, she prayed for him. She loved him through it. He became the most powerful healing evangelist that I know anything about in the 1900s. Powerful guy, Smith Wigglesworth, because his wife loved him through it. John Skouten, the pastor at the Vineyard, he was really bad shape, and his wife loved him through it. He did her wrong in his youth, and she stayed faithful. She stayed committed. She stayed in love with him, and God brought him into the kingdom. I believe it's the same thing with your kids. Keep loving your kids. A lot of kids take a U-turn, you know, out of high school. They think they're smarter than mom and dad. Some of them, not all of them, but they take a U-turn. God can humble your children. He can bring them back. He knows how to get them. Your job is to love your children. I know when they're kids, you got to discipline and spank them and do those things. I know that's good stuff. If you love your kids, you're going to discipline them. But there comes a time when they get older, you got to turn them over to God. You've got to love them through their mess. If you don't love them, who's going to? Right? No one else is going. You better love them through their mess. No, Jesus came to reconcile you to God, and we actually live through him. I'm going to take one slice of my message this morning and preach it. Point number five. Did you give out the handouts? Go give the handouts out. You can study this on your own. I am going directly to point five. It's really good. It's good stuff. One of these days I'll preach it. But point five says, it's 1 John 5:11. It says, and this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Eternal life. Raise your hand if you need one of these studies. You can go home and study it. It'd be a good project for a lot of scripture on there. I load them up with scripture. I like to prove my points. But this word life is the Greek word zoe. Just keep your hands up. I'll just keep preaching. This word life is the Greek word zoe. It means eternal life. Do you know you received eternal life when you invited Christ into your life? You received eternal life right then. The life of the ages, the indestructible life, is in you now. You will never die. You will go to heaven, and the life that's in you will continue on. Do you know that you can live through that life right now? If you allow Zoe life, eternal life, to have its way in you, you can live in that life now. That eternal life, that Zoe life, it's just not that you're going to heaven. Over there. I'll just edit this pause right out of the message. You can listen to these messages on iTunes, Grace Point with Brad Kittle, or on Podbean. Grace Point with Brad Kittle on Podbean. And on our webpage, Grace Point, is it Utica? Is it Grace Point of Utica or Grace Point Utica? GracePointUtica.org/.com. Well, it'll pop up. But we post them there under podcast too. You can listen to them there. There's three places you can listen to them. But this life that's in you is Zoe life. It's eternal life. What God was showing me is everything. The Bible says, he who has the Son has life. That life is in you now, guiding you and directing you. That life that's in you now should be taking over and doing something. What does life do? Like when a little seed gets in the ground, what does it do? It grows. And it keeps on growing. As long as it's alive, it keeps growing. That eternal life is in you and it's growing right now. If you're following Jesus, when Jesus tapped people on the shoulder, he said, follow me. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, is still saying, follow me. When you follow Jesus, you follow eternal life. That life in you continues to grow. Your love life continues to grow. Your faith life continues to grow. We can draw back. We can. But life in you is going to want to bust out. Life in you is going to want to reach out. Eternal life. There's wisdom in that life. If you connect to that life, you're connecting to wisdom. And get this from today's prayer. If you connect to that life, you're connecting to peace. Your peace is in that life that's in you. The wisdom that God has is in that life that's in you. And it works when you walk by faith, when you trust the Lord. Isn't there something that says trust in the Lord with all your might, all your heart? Don't lean to your own understanding. Gideon, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. That's faith. And he does that through the life that's in you. Is everybody in here growing this morning? Are you in the school of discipleship, or have you shut the door on your Christian growth? Did something happen that scared you, made you afraid? Did something happen in your life where you kind of shut it up? The devil said boo, and you jumped back in your closet. Someone didn't like you, so you gave up. Did that happen? Are you backing up, or are you going forward in this thing called life? Where are you at? I like to ask that. If you walk in this life, you're going to walk in victory. You're going to see your victory over your enemies by loving them, by walking above it. You're going to have victory over your enemies. You're going to have victory over the devil. Besides that, you're already in God. You're already saved. You're already as good for heaven as if you're already there. You're already as good for heaven as if you're already there. Colossians 3 says you are already there in Christ. You're joined to Him. Your loved ones, you're there with them. Somehow, mystically, spiritually, being united to Christ, we're all together. Isn't that amazing? Amen. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You and your husband, you're already connected. You can't see him, but you're connected. He's in heaven. You're both connected to the same Savior. You're going to see him again. Well, I don't know how to land this thing. I really don't. I'm done. Someone say, praise the Lord. Bill, it's your cue. There's your cue, Bill. I expected a bigger shout than that. I love it. I'm going to preach a barn burner soon and wake you up. I'm going to. I've been teaching a little bit. I'm ready to let go of one here real soon. Half the church, if you see me preach, we may not see you the next week. So I'm trying to be good. I really am. I'm about ready to. To all you snoozers, I'm about ready to let a sermon rip here real soon. I'm trying to be relatable here. If you need anything, we're going to be around the altar, Pammy and I, this beautiful woman that condescended to marry me right here. We're going to be up at the altar. If you need prayer for anything, and another thing, I'm going to give an appeal. If you've never been baptized, water baptized, why not? What are you waiting for? Come up and see me. Say, I want to get water baptized. We're going to set a date, and we're going to put you under the water. Okay? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Not when you feel like it, not when you think you need it. Repent and be baptized. So if you've never been baptized, come see me. I'm going to put your name down on a list, and we're going to get you baptized. But if you need prayer for anything, if you're here and you don't even know that you're saved, don't leave without giving your life to Jesus. Come up here, I'll pray for you, or grab someone next to you and say, can you lead me to Jesus? And if they can't, I'll fire them. They're going back to first grade. No, say, grab somebody and say, can you lead me to Jesus? I want to give my life to Jesus. They can do it as well as me, or come up and pray with me. Is that okay? All right, we're going to dismiss you now. What time does Watts close? Are they still open? Father, thank you for your word. It's the truth. Thank you for, Lord, setting people free. I meant to tell them about their dreams and their sleep. Pray before you go to bed. Worship God before you go to bed. Call on the Holy Spirit to enter your dream life. Plead the blood of Jesus and sleep in peace. Father, bless the people as they go today. Let them know that they're not under condemnation, that you are reaching out to grow them up in Christ, that you want them to have a great reward when they go into the kingdom of heaven. You want a lot of little kids to be fed because they have faith. You want sick people to be healed. You want people to be encouraged through them. You want their kids saved. You want their life changed. You love them. You want to work in them. You're not giving up on them. You're not quitting on them. Just because the devil is attacking them, doesn't mean you don't love them, Lord. They've got some growing up to do. Lord, teach us. Teach us. I know you're with us, Lord, as we go today. Give us grace and mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Someone say amen. Amen. All right, we'll see you next week.